This morning I want to talk to you about prayers that return with a promise. Prayers that return with a promise. Go with me to Genesis chapter 8. I'm going to begin at verse 6. The Bible says, "And it came to pass at the end of 40 days that Noah opened the window of the ark which he had made. And he sent forth a raven which went forth to and fro until the waters were dried up from off the earth. Also he sent forth a dove from him to see if the waters were abated from off the face of the ground. But the dove found no rest for the sole of her foot, and she returned unto him unto the ark. For the waters were on the face of the whole earth. Then he put forth his hand and took her and pulled her in unto him into the ark. And he stayed yet other 7 days, and again he sent forth the dove out of the ark. And the dove came into him in the evening, and lo, in her mouth was an olive leaf plucked off. So Noah knew the waters were abated from off the earth." Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this day, and I thank you for your goodness upon my life and the life of my family today, Lord. God, as my brothers and sisters were just so kind, God, to us today, Lord, I truly sensed your honor. God, I truly sensed it come from your heart, and I've sensed you've placed your honor upon my life and my family today, God, and I'm very grateful. And Lord, I pray that this word would just find a deep place in our hearts, God, and Lord, you would just encourage people today, God, and I thank you. We thank you, God, and we pray in Jesus' name, amen. All right. Here we have Genesis chapter 8, the familiar but very fantastic story of Noah and the ark. The Bible says that the days were very wicked, and God was grieved over the wickedness of humanity. And he had decided that he was going to destroy and purge evil humanity from off the earth. But the Bible says that Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And God saved Noah and his family by instructing him to build an ark. And beloved, we know what the ark represents. The ark represents Christ. The ark represents the security of our salvation. The ark represents the safety and the refuge of our salvation. And just for a moment, there's something I want to look at. Go with me to chapter 6. I'm going to look at verse 14. This is the Lord giving Noah instructions in building the ark. And in verse 14 he says, "Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Room shall thou make in the ark, and shall pitch it within and without with pitch." And I really want to emphasize, the Lord told Noah to pitch the ark inside and outside with pitch. And beloved, what I want us to understand is that pitch is a sealant. It's like cement. It's like tar. It's something that you use to fill cracks. And in other words, what God is doing is he's telling Noah how to waterproof the ark. And it really does speak of the power of the blood. You know, the blood is so sin-proof that the enemy can't even find a pinhole to voice his accusation against a believer's life. You know, our salvation is so watertight that the enemy can spend day and night for the next 1,000 years accusing us, and not one drop of rain will find a way to penetrate through the blood. Not one accusation of the enemy, no matter how small it may sound, can penetrate through the blood. And speaking of drops of rain, for Christians, Noah's flood represents the totality of God's wrath being poured out upon his son. That on the cross, Jesus took the fullness of God's wrath for us when he became sin for us. You see, I want us to notice in Noah's story that it was the ark that took the pounding of the flood. That Noah and his family were safely tucked away inside the ark, and the ark took the brunt and the fury of the storm. And it so represents Christ taking the wrath of God for us. But here's the good news. Notice that the ark had the strength to stand up to the flood. Notice that the ark had the strength to stand up to the wrath of God being poured out upon entire earth. And what does that speak to us today? Simply this. Though Jesus took all the sins of humanity upon himself, he was stronger than the sin of humanity. And on the third day, he rose again from the dead. And beloved, what I love about Jesus rising again from the dead is he left us with the testimony of the empty tomb. And I really love that. You see, the empty tomb is Jesus' declaration to the church that if I can triumph over death in the grave, then there isn't anything in your life I can't triumph over. If I can triumph over death in the grave, then what stronghold, what struggles, what things are you personally struggling with that are stronger than me? No, as you walk with me, you will see freedom, you will see deliverance, because I didn't die on the cross to leave you a victim to anything. I've died on the cross so you can be an overcomer of everything. Amen. Now, there's something that I want us to notice here in preparing the ark, a command that God gave Noah. So look with me at chapter 6 and look with me at verse 16. It says, a window shalt thou make of the ark, and in a cubit shalt thou finish it above. Now, what I want us to understand is it was God himself that told Noah, you need to build a window into this ark. Listen, whenever God says something, it's important. Whenever God opens his mouth and says something, God has a very important reason why he says it. And what I want us to understand, the window represents spirit-empowered prayer. Spirit-anointed prayer. You see, it was the window that Noah released the dove from. So the window truly represents prayers released in the power of the Holy Spirit. And I want us to notice that when the dove flew out of the window, the dove flew over a world that was engulfed by water. And beloved, water represents strengthless places. Water represents places the strength of the flesh will sink every time. But beloved, our prayers have the power to lift us up and cause us to walk in the supernatural. Our prayers have power to cause us to walk in places where our own strength could never stand. That, beloved, listen, God will always meet our prayers with supernatural grace. Listen, God will always meet our prayers with supernatural grace. How do I know that? Because God said himself, come boldly to my throne of grace, and you will find mercy and grace to help in your time of need. Amen. But here is what I want us to see. Look with me again at chapter 8, verse 6 and 7. It says, and it came to pass at the end of 40 days that Noah opened the window, representing prayer, opened the window of the ark which he made, and he sent forth a raven. So just stop there. So we see the very first time Noah was investigating to see if the waters were receding from off of the earth, that Noah sent out a raven. And I want us to notice that this raven came back empty. It came back empty. In other words, this represents prayers that come back empty. This represents prayers that come back powerless. This represents prayers that offer nothing but despair and hopelessness. And this so represents the prayers of Christians who hold very, very, very strongly to the philosophy that God helps those who help themselves. No. God does not help those that help themselves. God helps those who can't help themselves. Beloved, if we could help ourselves, we wouldn't need grace. And I've had believers who's been in the Lord a long time argue with me this point, and they just quote to me that all the time, like they think it's a Bible verse or something. Well, God helps those who help themselves. Well, God helps those who help themselves. You know what you're doing? You're just releasing a raven. Because God does not help those who help themselves. If we could help ourselves, we wouldn't need grace. But here's the good news. The second time Noah sent the dove out, that I can just picture something came into Noah's heart that said, you know what? I better send the dove out this time. You know, I just sense that something is insufficient in sending out the raven. I really think I need to send the dove out this time. And to me, this represents those times in our lives where God truly begins to press us into places of weakness, and we truly begin to look away from ourselves and begin placing our dependence wholly upon God. It represents that journey where we truly come to the understanding that without Christ, I can do nothing, but with Him, I can do all things. It represents that point in our journey where we truly make the transition from trusting in our strength to being carried by grace. Releasing that dove the second time represents that transition in every believer's life who's on that journey with God. And somewhere in that journey, I get a realization, you know what? My own strength is powerless. And something in the heart begins to look away from self, and you truly, not in your mind, in your heart, you truly begin to look wholly to God, depend wholly upon God. God is saying, now you're making the transition from your strength to my grace. You're sending out the dove. Amen. And again, the second time, Noah sends out the dove. And beloved, the dove represents the Holy Spirit. The dove represents the Spirit of grace. And notice the dove returned with an olive leaf. In other words, he returned with a promise. Beloved, understand the dove so represents prayers that return with a promise. Amen. So we have to ask the question then. Well, then what is the promise? What is the promise? When we pray for God's will to be accomplished in our lives, what is the one promise the Holy Spirit will bring to our heart every time? What is it? Look with me again at chapter 8, verse 6. Verse 6 says, "And it came to pass at the end of 40 days that Noah opened the window of the ark which he had made." Now, I'm really emphasizing that word opened. Look at it again in the Bible. It says, "And it came to pass at the end of 40 days that Noah opened the window." You know, Saturday evening, when I was reading through this story and I got to verse 6 and I read that word opened, I immediately sensed in my heart that that was a very special word. It was something, it was really a quickening by the Holy Spirit. It was supernatural. I've read that verse many times. But when I read it this time and my eyes fell upon that word open, I immediately sensed that was a very special word. And suddenly that still small voice came to my heart and said, "Tim, I want you to take your Hebrew concordance out and I want you to look and see what that word actually means." And, you know, I really started talking to myself and I said, "You know what? That's silly. I know what the word opened means. It means opened. That's what it means." And I'm just talking to myself. But I couldn't get away from that nagging feeling. So I finally got my Hebrew concordance down and I looked it up. And beloved, when I looked it up, I was pleasantly surprised and amazed at the same time. Beloved, in the Hebrew, this word open literally means to set free, to liberate, to loosen. It's the same word for loose used in Psalm 102:20. It says, "For God had looked down from his sanctuary to hear the groaning of the prisoner and to loose those appointed to death." It's the same word used for loose in Psalm 105 verse 20. "The king loosed him and let him go." It's the same word used for loose in Isaiah 58:6 that says, "Is not this the fast that I've chosen, to loose the bands of wickedness and let the oppressed go free?" Beloved, what is the promise? The promise is of spiritual freedom. Listen, the one prayer that God will answer every time is that cry coming from the heart that truly desires to be free. The one prayer that God will answer every time is that cry coming from the heart that desires to walk in freedom. That is one He will answer every time. Amen. But I want you to notice something. Like the raven, the first time the dove came back, he came back empty. Look with me at verse 8 and 9 again. Chapter 8, verse 8 and 9 says, "Also he sent forth a dove from him to see if the waters were abated from off of the face of the ground. But the dove found no rest for the sole of her foot, and she returned unto him from the ark." So like the raven, the first time the dove came back, he came back empty. So then right here, someone could ask the question, so then Pastor Tim, what's the difference? What's the difference between the raven and the dove? Beloved, here is the difference. With the dove, there was a witness in Noah's heart that he didn't have with the raven. You see, Noah sent the dove out a second time. That something told him, send the dove out again. Send the dove out again. And here's my point. We may not see our prayers answered the first time. We may not see our prayers answered the second, third, fourth, or even the fifth time. But God will always be faithful to put a witness in our hearts. Your prayers are not falling on deaf ears. Your prayers have power with God. God will answer. Pray again. Believe again. Declare God to be faithful to His promises again. Amen. Listen, when we pray in grace, in other words, when we pray with a cry in our heart that says, God, there's nothing in me that can do this, and therefore all my hope is in you, that is when the Holy Spirit will come to our hearts with a witness. God hears this prayer, and He will hear it every time you pray it. So pray again, trust again, look to His promises again. God will be faithful. He will answer. Amen. Looking at some of your faces, this message seems to be like the dove. It's just going right over your head. But I'm praying you're getting it. There is a difference between the dove and the raven. Amen. And the difference is grace-filled prayers. The difference is something that truly knows in my heart. I've been on that journey with God. I know I can do nothing without Him. But yet I know I can do all things with Him. Beloved, you know those two scriptures. It's not in my notes, but I'm just going to tell you. John 15, the Bible says, I can do nothing without Christ. Philippians said, with Christ I can do all things. But sometimes there's a journey you have to take to get from one verse to the other. And the journey is simply this. I'm going to let you walk in your own strength and fail in your own strength and walk in your own strength and fail into your own strength until it's not in your mind, but it's in your heart. God, I can do nothing without you. And God says, congratulations, you're making the journey. And by my grace, you will reach that point where, God, I can do all things with you, but it has nothing to do with me. It has everything to do with grace. Amen. Now I want us to end by noticing something. When the dove returned, he returned with an olive leaf in his mouth. Beloved, the olive leaf was the evidence that the waters were receding and land was coming. The olive leaf was the evidence that God was going to be faithful to His promises. Now capture this. The leaf was God's sign to Noah that even though you do not see the land with your eyes, the land is coming. I love that. The leaf was God's sign to Noah that even though you don't see it yet with your eyes, the land is coming. And beloved, this reminds me of Philippians 4, verse 6 and 7. It says, be anxious for nothing, but by prayer and supplication, make your requests known unto God, and the peace of God, which surpasses understanding, will keep your heart. Beloved, do you know what this verse is telling us? It's telling us that when we pray, God sends His peace as the evidence that He has heard our prayers. His peace tells us, you may not see it with your eyes yet, but I have sent my peace to tell you that the answer is coming. Keep praying. Keep believing. Keep declaring God's promises to be faithful because the answer is coming. Amen. I love that. God tells us very clearly in Philippians that, listen, when you pray, I'm going to say, I heard your prayer, and I'm going to give you an evidence. The evidence that I heard your prayer is I'm going to send peace. And so often, when we pray, things only get worse. And when we pray, the answers seem long in coming. But the supernatural, wonderful, mysterious thing is every time I pray, there just comes a peace into my heart. And now I understand what God is doing. He's given me a witness. He's given me a sign. He's given me an evidence that even though you may not see the answer yet, even though things may get worse before they get better, I have heard your prayers. The answer, the breakthrough, the way making is coming. Keep believing. Keep believing. So I guess what I'm saying is this. I guess I said all that to say this. Listen, if there are areas in your life where you feel captive, and it just seems like, Lord, the captivity may be growing worse, or Lord, the freedom just seems long in coming, the Lord is saying, listen, when you pray in grace, when you're absolutely looking not at yourself, but placing all your hope in me, the answer is coming. And as you pray, I'm going to send peace. As you make the altar calls, I'm going to send peace. As you have a devotional life in your word, I'm going to send peace to let you know. Keep praying. Keep believing. Keep standing on the promises of God. The answer is coming. Amen. So sometimes you might get land, and sometimes you might just get a dove with a little leaf in his mouth. You might just get a little sign, which is the peace of God. But God is saying, stand fast. The answer's not here today. It might be here tomorrow, but the answer is coming. Wait in hope. Not wait and hope. Wait in hope. Amen. Stand with me this morning. Beloved, here is my altar call. You know, the Bible says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And I believe with all my heart that as this word was being preached, many people felt a faith rising in your heart. That yes, these places where I feel so captivated and imprisoned, God wants me to be free. And not only does he want me to be free, but he is determined to free me. And one more time, I am going to come to the altar and pray and believe and declare God's promises are faithful. Amen. So if that's you this morning and you just want to join me in this altar again in believing prayer that God is going to do everything in your life he has spoken into your heart. Let's just come and pray. Let's just come and pray. And let that heavenly dove just light upon our hearts. Let the testimony of that leaf, the peace of God, just rule and reign in our hearts. God, the answer is coming. God, your peace is your witness to my heart that the answer is coming. And I'm going to keep praying, and I'm going to keep believing, and I'm going to keep trusting, and I'm going to keep declaring that the promises of God are faithful. Amen. So if that's you, it's you and now. It's just you and now. You and the Lord now in the altar. And I just want you to start. The promises that he's made and the verses in the Bible that he's spoken to your heart and they have become yours. You own them now. Just start declaring them back to the Lord. Just start saying, the Lord, this is what you said. This is what you spoke. This is what you declared in your word. And God, I know it's true. And Lord, I know these yokes are going to be broken. And I know these prison doors are going to open. Because Jesus, when you died on the cross, you died for spiritual freedom. Stand on his word. Pray this morning. As the word was being preached, I know there was faith coming to hearts. I know, like Noah opened that door, God, you want to open my prison doors. You want to free me. You want to liberate me. You want to loose me. And I thank you, God. I will fulfill your destiny for my life. And God, I thank you for your grace. God, your grace is a supernatural grace. God, your grace calls people out to not sink in the places that our strength can never walk. But your grace calls us out to walk with you in the supernatural. To walk with you in the supernatural. And I thank you for that, God. I thank you for what you're doing in my life. It's so supernatural, God. Amen. Beloved, just begin to talk to the Lord. Begin to pray because God is here and God's word is faithful. Amen. Everyone down in the altar, let me just say it again. The answer is coming. The answer is coming. I'm telling you, God is so faithful that when we pray, it's so supernatural and it's such a mystery how we can pray when things just seem to be getting worse. And yet when we pray, the peace comes. And it comes. And we pray and the peace comes. And that's just God's sign to us. That's God's evidence to us. That is God's witness to us that, listen, the answer is coming. You may not see it with your eyes yet, but the answer is coming. So pray again. Believe again. Trust again. Declare my promises to be true for your life because your answer, your breakthrough is coming. Amen. Amen. Well, everyone stand with me. Stand with me. I'm not going to prolong this. We got barbecue downstairs. Just walk out of here encouraged and walk out of here in the peace of God. I sense there's great peace in this altar. That is your olive leaf from the Lord today. The answer's coming. You may not see it with your eyes, but the answer's coming. Amen. Let's pray. Let's close in prayer. Lord, we thank you, God, just for your goodness to us, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that you can speak to us out of your word, God. We thank you, God, that it's not God helps those who have a measure of strength to help themselves. It's God helps those who can't help themselves. And God, I thank you the testimony over our life is the release of the dove. It's the power of the Spirit. It's the power of grace in our life. When we are at that point, God, I can't help myself. I can't help myself. Well, good. Let's put away the raven and let's begin to release the dove in your life. The promises of God. I thank you for that, God. And Lord, we love you. And just give us a good time of fellowship downstairs, God. And Lord, thank you for good old Southern barbecue, Lord. Thank you. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.